in conversation with musicians from the UK jazz scene. And now your hosts, Rob Cope and Dan.
Morning.
Happy birthday, lads.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Wow, your 85 episodes of the Jazz Podcast, and this one is the official birthday pod for our old chum, Dan.
I thought you were going to say I'm 85.
I nearly did.
I'm not quite there yet.
But that show will come one day when we're in the nursing home.
Oh, no.
And we'll just be interviewing the other people in the nursing home at that point.
We'll just be doing imaginary interviews. The podcast will have finished a long time ago.
And there'll be like 50 minutes of silence where the episode used to go.
Yes.
Wow.
How are you doing?
Yeah, very good.
Good Christmas. Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year, lads. It was very civilized. It's probably a really busy time for most normal musicians, but for me it is very quiet and peaceful.
Yeah, good. Yeah.
What did you do?
What did I do? We were just celebrated with lots of food and drinks and chocolate, and I feel very fat.
Yeah, I do. I was starting to think about throwing a load of chocolate in the bin.
Yeah.
Like, as tragic as that sounds. Or, like, I feel bad. I mean, you know, you can take it to a food bank, but, like, is that really helping to just put loads of Thornton's chocolates? Like, you know, something with nutritional value might be a little more appropriate.
Yeah, some beans.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. It was your dear wife Lydia's birthday a couple of days ago as well.
It was the 28th.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So all of them packed at one time of the year.
Yeah, heavy Farrant celebration times.
Exactly.
But this is a big one. 30.
30 years old.
Yeah.
You're 30, aren't you?
I am. Yes.
Yes.
Amongst my group of friends, I'm the youngest. So it's right? Always, other than our friend Jake, well, and you, obviously.
Yep.
But then, like, Jack Davies, John Ormston, Tom Taylor, those, Ben Lloyd Evans, all those kids are older than me. So it's a good feeling to be the baby.
To be the youth.
Yeah, exactly. What are you going to do today?
Not much, really. Just chilling. I like a chilled day. I've been into town, bought some croissants from the bakery. Going to put some coffee on.
Oh, this sounds wonderful.
Put my feet up. Yeah.
Well,
I think go for dinner later.
Lovely.
Nice and chilled.
That sounds beautiful. Well,
Lydia's made cookies, so consume some cookies.
What type of cookies?
Well, I've recently got her onto the Millie's cookies recipe.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar?
No.
I would become familiar if you're a fan of a cookie.
Maybe I'll just come over.
Come over for a cookie sometime, anytime.
Yeah, that would solve. She made some cookies last time I was there. It was a few weeks ago.
Yeah, she's getting into it.
I don't know
it.
If it's they good. Would have been the Millie's variety back then.
Probably weren't the Millie's because it's more of a recent thing. But,
okay.
Yeah, I'll send you the recipe.
Yeah, that sounds very interesting.
Mm. So what are you up to today?
Well, I got up. I interviewed Emma Bassett at 8:30.
Oh, that's an early one.
Yeah. She's now in a driving lesson, so we squeezed an episode in. It's a testament to how busy she is that it had to be 8:30 on a Friday morning. It's the first time I've set an alarm for maybe 3 weeks, and my alarm went off at 7:45, Dan. I didn't even know like if I was alive or not. It was terrifying.
You're quite an early riser though, aren't you?
I'm a big time morning person, yeah. So
apart from over Christmas, you've let it slip.
Well, I've let it slip. Well, when I say morning person, normally morning to me is like springing out of bed at 7 o'clock like a puppy. Okay. But I've been springing out at like 8, which is not just so unlike me.
Yeah. Well, what time did you stay up to on New Year's Eve?
Oh, I was asleep by 11:30.
Of course you were.
Oh, it was wonderful, Dan. And then I went running in the morning and I was like, I was so smug and full of the joys of life.
Yeah.
What time did you stay up till?
We were quite late, probably like 3 or 2:30. Maybe.
There you go. That's how it's supposed to be done.
Well, I was still in my 20s then. Now that I've hit my 30th decade, I fear.
You feel it, man. You feel
downhill.
It. It's a shocker.
Downhill fast.
Yep. So I'm going to play Emma's show. We're going to bask in the glory of her career.
Yes.
Excellent. Here we go. Oh, and a track. There's a track coming. This is the Hackney Colliery Band. This is called Jump Then Run.
Good name.
Which features Emma's trombone playing.
Great.
Emma Bassett, welcome to the Jazz Podcast.
Hello.
I feel like we both sound really grisly, like it's too early for this.
I know. Also, I've already got a January cold, so...
What?
I know, the start of the new year, it's great, isn't it?
That's horrendous. When did it start?
On the 1st of January.
Oh, man.
I know, it's pretty bad. No, it's okay. I didn't really get one before Christmas, so I think it was my turn.
Yeah, I haven't had one yet, and I'm feeling very smug about that particular
Yeah, you fact. Wait till tomorrow morning.
Yeah, yeah, it'll all come crashing down. So, my co-host, Dan, who I don't know if I can track him down today, it's his 30th birthday.
Oh my gosh, happy birthday.
I know, so he's potentially AWOL from the Jazz Podcast today. but deservedly so. So you've, Emma, tell us who I played a track at the start, which I should have written down what it was. Hang on. This is really, incredibly low budget of me. I just have to, if I actually load your show, I can see. Oh, it was the Hackney Colliery Band, Jump Then Run.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. There's loads and loads of brass on that one as well.
Loads of brass on that one.
Yeah. How many people are playing on that track?
So it's about nine, ten.
Okay.
It's Hackney Colliery Band. So I'm a freelance trombonist.
Yes, here we go. Here we go. It's starting.
freelance trombonist. And I've been playing on and off with Hackney. I'm not a member of Hackney Colliery Band, but I freelance with them and been playing with them since I was about 22, 21, and they're such an awesome band. They got an amazing album called Sharpener. They've got some new material coming out very soon. I've been freelancing with them for a while, and they're it's so much fun to play with them. They're an awesome band. Check them out.
Yes, big time. So, why the trombone? Let's start there, shall we? The obvious question.
So I was brought up in Cornwall. I'm a Cornish girl.
Wow.
And
whereabouts in Cornwall?
A lovely fishing village called Porthleven on the south coast.
Yeah.
Very far down. Takes a long time to get home.
Can you put that? Cause it's further than Manchester from where we are in London.
Oh god, yeah, it's absolutely miles away.
Which seems like madness to me.
Yeah, well, the train is like nearly 6 hours, Paddington to Penzance, 5.5 hours. And then it's like another 20-minute drive from there. So, yeah, door to door, it's a pretty long way. You can't really just pop home for the weekend, which is a bit sad.
Yeah.
It's a really, really community kind of place. So every village has a brass band.
Cool.
So, because it's all like mining in Cornwall, and everyone has a brass band. So you're brought up. There's so much music in every village. Everywhere has choirs, male voice choirs, folk music going on, and brass bands. So our family was really involved in the brass band. So I started on cornet, as everyone does, and then I got told my mouth was too big and they gave me a trombone.
Wow, but who decides that your mouth's too big? How do you make that call?
Well, I don't know. I was just like, I don't know. I think I was just playing the trumpet a bit too loud.
Right.
And they were just like, here you go. So I went on euphonium first because of vowels. And then they're like, no, I think they just needed a trombone, and I think that was their excuse.
That's great.
Changed my life, so then I just played the trombone.
Have you ever told someone that their mouth is too big?
No. Okay. But you can tell. I think when you are teaching, you can tell if some people are just, they just don't make the right sound on the trumpet, maybe. Because obviously when you're little, most people, not everyone really starts on a trombone, especially when I was about 6, so when I started on the cornet.
Yeah.
You can kind of tell sometimes if people need a bigger instrument, but I really think it was just because they needed a trombone.
Okay.
Yeah, so I did that, and I just did it through school. Our school had a great... So there's not many people play string instruments in Cornwall because everyone's in brass bands. So our school, we didn't have a school orchestra. We had... a school big band, we had a school brass band, wind band, brass ensemble. Every lunchtime there was something going on.
That sounds great.
Oh, our school was awesome. We had such great music department. It was all about the big band. So that was like the thing to be in. You went on tours with the big band. We had an amazing, our conductor, he was a trumpet player. He was my teacher. A guy called Johnny Austin, and he was in the army bands with like Gordon Campbell, and so he would bring awesome people down to come and play with us. We used to have every year someone from the BBC Big Band would come down and do a concert with us. And we used to go on tours, and just that was like the thing to be in. So that was kind of like, as well as doing brass bands, that was like the thing that we used to do at school. So yeah. I never actually did orchestral play or anything like that until I when I was 16 I went to Wells Cathedral School in Somerset. Mm-hmm. And that was the first time I actually played in an orchestra. I couldn't even read tenor clef.
Wow, that's really cool. Wait a minute, so what made you decide to go to Wells after like GCSEs? Was there anything else that you wanted to do?
Well, it's just I didn't have a trombone teacher. I had always had a trumpet teacher teaching me trombone. I think my teacher has just got to the point where he was like, you really need to actually have a trombone teacher.
Yeah.
And there isn't really a lot of people in Cornwall to do that. And there's this guy called Alan Hutt who lived in Cornwall near Falmouth, but he taught at Wells.
Right.
So I went and one day went and saw him and asked him to be my teacher. And he said, I'll teach, but I don't teach when I'm in Cornwall because that's when I've got like home time. He was like, so why don't you just come to Wales? So I went to Wales.
Wow.
So yeah, that was for, I just went for sixth form, which was great. It was opened my eyes to so much music, and it was like a great stepping stone to coming to London. I don't think I would have got into music college if I had gone, and I just didn't know. There's so much I had to learn. I didn't have like any trombone slide technique. Right. I just never had a trombone teacher. So it was 2 years of just intense learning. It was great fun. I loved it.
That also, tool. I feel like it's a preview for what you're going to do at music college if you go to.
100%. I just never knew. I couldn't read tenor clef. I couldn't read alto clef. I'd never been exposed to orchestras before. Like in our first week there, they took us to London to see the London Symphony Orchestra, mm-hmm. And to go and see a musical. I've been to London once. I remember getting to Victoria Station. And I was like, oh my gosh, there's shops inside a shop. I've never been to a shopping center. It was like, oh my gosh, my mind is blown. Imagine if I had like, that's the first time I come to London, that would have been like to go to music college. Yeah. It would have been too much of a shock. It was a great stepping stone.
I just want to quickly go back and clarify, in case anyone's listening who doesn't know, that reading alto and tenor clef is like, I'm trying to think of an equivalent,
like a different language.
Completely. Because I couldn't read either without like a pair of very strong glasses and a thick pencil and like a solid 2 or 3 hours to try and decode. I mean, it'd be like knowing everything I've ever learned and then having it sort of screwed up and thrown out the window and being like,
So muddling when you first do it. I think because like trumpet players transpose, that's the thing, they'll go into any key, but trombonists, we don't really do that. We read, well, when I'm thinking classically, we read different clefs. Yeah. So in brass bands, you read in treble clef B flat, and then we read bass clef, and then you have to read tenor and then alto. And then treble clef C. You just get used to it. It's just like your head just switches sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes it doesn't, and that's embarrassing. not that that's ever happened to me.
No, of course not. So then where did you audition after Wells when you were looking at colleges?
So I actually only auditioned at Birmingham and Trinity. So my teacher, because I hadn't had the, I didn't do National Youth Orchestra, I didn't do, a lot of the people at music college kind of all do the same thing. They all do the same, like Easter courses, Christmas courses, they all done it, these type of things for years. My teacher just said, look, if you go to somewhere like Academy or Guildhall, you're on the classical course, you're going to get eaten alive. Because I spent my whole time doing big bands, and I just didn't know orchestral repertoire. I didn't really have that much interest in classical music.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd ever sat down and like listened to a symphony, like just sat down and listened to it. I couldn't think of anything more boring. But I love playing, and I love playing the trombone, and I just loved being exposed to different types of music. So my teacher kind of encouraged me to audition at Birmingham and Trinity and just said, go somewhere like there and have amazing teaching and just practice and practice and practice. Right. And then if you feel like you want to go into, because there's, I think, especially at Trinity, I ended up going to Trinity. There was so many different opportunities of different types of music, I think. And he just said, you're just going to get eaten alive if you go somewhere like for you at that time at the Academy.
Yeah.
Go and have, and also I really wanted this teacher called Graham Lee, and he was at Trinity, and he's like, just go there and practice, and if you want to go and do the classical thing, then think about doing a postgrad at an academy. And that is what I did, and that was the best advice, actually.
Oh, wow.
Because when I went to Trinity, because mm-hmm. I wasn't really interested in as much in classical music. My year at Trinity for jazz was ridiculous. And there wasn't a lot of trombonists on the jazz department. So it just meant I got to, because I said an interest in it, I just got to be involved in all the jazz projects.
What were you doing? Tell me.
So, who's in your year then? So Laura Judd on trumpet, Elliot Galvin, piano, Mike Sobel's on trumpet. Just like these ridiculous guys who obviously everyone, I'm sure everyone's heard their albums and know a lot about them. They were just, so it was just amazing to be like around them. And like, I got to play in Laura Judd's big band doing Chaos Orchestra.
That's how we met, isn't it?
That's how we met, yeah. And doing Matt Roberts' big band, and just all the different projects at Trinity. There was just so many different, like we got to play at Ronnie Scott's doing, like, there was just, I can't even think of everything. There was just so many different things. And they have a thing called CoLab at Trinity where it's kind of like, it's part of the course. You have to collaborate with people doing different types of projects and then you write about it. So I did so many different cool things.
I remember Elliot told me he did CoLab when he did a master's there in composition.
Yeah.
It's
such a big thing. Like I did for 1 year, I did a project with Laura Judd and it was just like an improvisational kind of thing. And she actually led the project because you could put, as a student, you could put in a request of what a project could be, so that like the college put on certain projects or you could create your own. And I saw Laura Judd was doing one. I thought, I really want to do that. So that was really good. And I did one with like some jazz violinists and they just put on really cool events at Trinity. I think it was just, and that was so, for me, that was, I would much rather do that than sit in orchestra. And I just found it a lot more, I just felt like, we also did sound painting, which was really cool, which Elliot and all were involved in. And got to do loads of cool gigs with it. It was just completely like so much new music for me to be involved in. And that's how I met a lot of these people. And it was as a classically trained trombonist, it really opened my eyes to so much more that you could do. So I'm so glad I went to Trinity for that respect. Because these are the guys that I'm like still working with now, even though I'm a classical trombonist. I get to play, like, we're doing a gig with Matt Roberts next week. And like, I still get to play with those guys. So it's great. Really fun.
Yeah. I went to the Northern and had a similar experience where obviously there was like 23 saxophone players on the course, but because there wasn't a jazz degree, it let you spread out.
So much
more than if I'd have done a jazz degree in London. Well, first of all, like you, I wouldn't have. I don't think I'd have survived aged 18 anyway. But yeah, it's then, and then it's just a really, if you can find a way to have that education, it's wonderful because you can just do everything.
Yeah. Well, I think, and also my teacher was, even he was a first trombone of the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra, and he was very much like, you're not learning to play in an orchestra. He was like, I'm not teaching you to learn, I'm teaching you to play the trombone. And as a trombonist, you're going to be, they're very much like, you're going to be a freelancer. You're not going to be the first trombone of an orchestra. Basically, that's what everyone tells you. And he said, you have to be a chameleon in your playing. He was like, I don't want to teach you just to be able to play in a orchestra. I want to teach you how to really play the trombone. And that means any style.
Yeah.
I want to teach you to be a chameleon. So if I go and sit in big band, I put my big band hat on and then I play in a section of a big band. As soon as I sit in an orchestra, I'm a completely different player. It's a different sound. It's different. You just got to be able to change yourself. And that's what I love about freelancing.
Yeah.
Is that I love going into different situations and saying, right, well, today I'm playing some Brahms. I've got my Brahms hat on today. This is my sound. This is my, obviously, hopefully still with my individualness. but then the next day, oh, I'm doing big band. Oh, I'm doing pop. Or I'm doing a show. It's you just put your different hat on. And I love that. I hate it when people are like, oh, you're classical, or you're a jazzer, or you're this, or you're that. You get, I hate that kind of like pigeonholed, because I think if you can play your instrument, you should be able to kind of play in different situations.
Yeah, you make a really interesting point, because like, off I go again, but like the saxophone is quite a young instrument, and we just don't really treat each other like that, because there's like a preconception, I think, with the saxophone that if you play it, therefore, you know, you, people will assume that you can improvise and that you can do all manner of different things. So if you can't, that's quite a difficult position to be in. So, 100%. You know, the majority of the saxophone players I know, like you say, like, we're not an orchestral instrument, so we never grow up even considering that that's an option. You just have to learn to do everything if you want the even the smallest chance of survival.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Well, and when I sit in a big band, I love sitting second, third trombone and just being involved in that sound. I would never go and say I'm an improviser. I do like improvising, but not in, like, especially like when you're surrounded by these ridiculous players who've spent their whole lives like doing this craft. But I love being able to play in the style. I love sitting in the section. I love being part of that. Not everyone is going to be playing off all the solos. I just love being part of that section and thinking about the style, getting really into it, but not necessarily doing all the solos. I just rather be part of that like sound. It's fun.
So what are the other things that you do in a typical week of your life?
Oh my gosh. Okay. So at the moment I'm on a West End show. I've been on it for about a year now. It's called Everybody's Talking About Jamie.
Yes.
It's in the West End. It's at the Apollo Theatre, Shaftesbury Avenue. And it is the story of a young boy from Sheffield who wants to go to his school prom in drag.
Right.
And he, his dad hates it. The school hates it. It's a really lovely story about a relationship between a son and his mum and bullying and just everything. And it's written by a band called The Feeling. So they wrote all the music, so it's very poppy. It's really poppy, really lovely songs. It's not like it's not your traditional musical sound. It's not jazz hands everywhere. It's just really lovely pop songs. And so I've been doing that for the last year, but as I've really like kept up my orchestral playing, so I normally my normal day-to-day job is like, as well as that, or before that, it was playing in orchestras.
Slow down, because I don't know anything. So the show, how many days a week do you do that?
So it's 7 days a week. There's 8 shows a week, but as like in the band, you have to do a certain percentage a year, so you don't have to do 8 shows a week if you've got other work coming. So you kind of like choose the important work that you want to do, and you have your depths. I'm doing 6 this week. Right. And
how many days will those 6 be over?
So it's Monday to Saturday.
Right.
So I can't remember which ones I'm doing this week. It's Monday to Saturday, 2 shows on a Wednesday, 2 shows on a Saturday.
How do you feel about the discipline involved in managing to do that every day?
I think it helps if you like the music. I'm not going to lie. Anyone that knows me, I love musicals. When I got booked for this, I was like, oh my gosh.
Wait, so how did it start? I'm really curious, because actually you might be the first guest we've had that's doing the West End at the moment.
So it's kind of a weird kind of like how you get into it. I always wanted to do like kind of musicals, but you don't audition. Like in an orchestra, it's quite simple. You audition, or you do an extras audition, you play, and then they say yes or no, and then you kind of get in an orchestra. Obviously, if a job comes up. Whereas in musicals, it's kind of like you have to be recommended. So actually, it's because of going through Trinity. There's a composer there called Theo Jameson, and used to do lots of his recordings for him. He then went to the academy and did the MD course.
Oh, we never even talked about your masters. We must not forget to do that. Carry on.
I also went to academy with him. And then
wait, what years as well? Just where are we going?
So I was at Trinity 2007 to 2013.
Yeah.
No, 2009 to 2013. And then I did a 2-year master's at Academy after that.
Okay, great.
Yeah, so Theo was there, and then he was like absolutely smashing it on the West End, getting MD jobs. And he was the MD for Jamie, and it was up in Sheffield. They did at the Crucible Theatre, they did a couple of weeks there with a band, and then it got transferred, but the whole band couldn't do it in London. So he got to choose the extra players, and he just rang me up one day and said, "Do you fancy a show?" And I went, "Yes, I would."
Cool, that's really simple.
Yeah, so but I think if you talk to a lot of people, a lot of people kind of were in that situation where someone recommends someone, you're kind of like, you go and like do lots. I felt like a bit of a fraud actually, because I never actually depped on the West End. I'd never been depping for people,
right?
So it was completely my first show. So recently I went and did
That sounds really fun to start that way, because it must be an intimidating way to start if you're like trying to sit in loads and like
it's a bit cheeky. I think it's a bit bad. But I actually went and did my first stepping a couple of months ago on Company, which is a show just down the road. And it was way more scary than doing my first show in Jamie.
Really? Why?
Yeah. Well, because for your own show, you get to have rehearsals and you learn the music and you kind of, as a section, get to know it together, because this is a brand new musical. So we got to like think about how we wanted to play it, and you're there with the MD doing rehearsals. You just get involved in it, whereas sitting in on another show, you literally sit in maybe once or twice, get given the music, learn it, you go in, do your first show, and hope that you do it right, and if not, you get the never again. So it's way more scary. So I'm glad I've had that. Now when like my depths come in, I know what they're feeling like.
Cool.
I have to do that, because otherwise it's a scary situation to be in.
And with the depping, do you just pick people that you, or do they like, do people like just contact you randomly and ask you if they can, you know, be involved?
Yeah, so lots of people like getting in contact. There was a couple of people that were kind of like recommended to me by the rest of the section. Also, someone like one of the guys did it up in Sheffield, so obviously he was going to be one of my depths. And yeah, there's a couple of people that I really wanted to get in. It's quite poppy, so I thought about that. Who did I know that was more of a pop player or had done that type of stuff? And yeah, obviously a lot of people get in contact with you. And yeah, it was, you need quite a lot of my, I've got quite a few depths because they're all so good that they're not always free. So I need a bit more of a list of people, because if you want a Friday night off, that's most people work on a Friday night, so I got a great group of people that come in and do it. They're amazing, because you always want someone who's really better than you to go in debt for you, because like if they mess up, it's your fault. So you want amazing people playing for you. So, it's fun.
It sounds really stressful.
You have to be good at admin. My diary is ridiculous. As in, like, I've done it once, and it was actually a couple of weeks ago. I double booked someone, so I had to pay two people. Which is, especially if you're, like, taking time off to actually do something social rather than doing work.
I know. It's really hard, because you're like, you add up what the social thing that you're doing costs. And then you also add up the cost of not doing that night's work.
Yeah.
I do that a lot to myself, and I'm like, wow, if I go for a drink tonight, it's going to cost me like £200.
I know. But you got to think, in my head, the way to get over that is even though the money goes in your account and you got to pay them, you didn't actually do that work. So you're not losing any money because you haven't actually earned that money.
Yes.
So that's the way I think about it. And then don't feel too bad for having nice evening.
Okay. That's good. All right, let's talk about the masters quickly. Did you enjoy it?
I loved it. The reason I did masters is because I really just wanted to learn to play in an orchestra. I wanted to hone in that kind of just that technique and that discipline. And I just felt I didn't think leaving Trinity that I was ready to, if auditions came up, I just didn't think I was ready for that. And at the academy, I mean, my teachers, I had the principal of the LSO, London Symphony Orchestra, the principal of London Philharmonic Orchestra, the principal of the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra. I do bass trumpet, and I had the second trombone of the London Symphony Orchestra, who he's like an amazing specialist in bass trumpet. He taught me that. I had Gordon Campbell for jazz. I mean, it was ridiculous. The teachers.
Gordon's like the jazz trombone grandfather, isn't he?
He is amazing. He's so good. He's such an amazing teacher. I learned so much from him.
He's got a kind of aura. I did a thing with him once, and afterwards there'd always be a circle of like younger brass players surrounding him,
yeah,
wherever he walked or went or whatever he did. You know, everyone would be like, Gordon, we're like, I'm going to the pub, and like nine people would be like, oh yes, Gordon, we're coming.
He's just so nice as well with it. He's just, you want to hit everything he says is like an amazing story. And or he, if he's talking about play, you just want to sit next to him and play. And I think that's the biggest thing, like, just in my lessons, I'm not very good at, like, when people are talking to me, like, very like just talking about things, I find it really hard. I just like, just play and let me just play with you. And just, that's like, I'm very dyslexic, so I just wanted to like just play next to these people. Mm-hmm. And again, trust, I think the whole big thing is about being that chameleon and just learning how to sit next to them. And because when you sit in an orchestra, you've got to play like, if I'm playing second trombone, I've got to play like that first player. I've got to blend into them. If you're bumping, so sitting on next to the first trombonist and playing with them, mm-hmm, you've got to completely try and make their sound. Now, to try and make that sound, like, it's ridiculous. So it's really, in your lessons, that's an amazing time to like just get used to doing that. And from having those teachers and stuff, that's when I started auditioning for orchestras and getting trials and stuff and starting to get freelancing in orchestras, which was completely new to me, and I absolutely loved it. So yeah, that's when that kind of world opened up to me a bit.
Cool. So if, as a listener, you're like pining to see Emma in action, the 14th of January, which is actually really soon, is when that Matt Roberts Big-ish Band at Ronnie Scott's,
yeah,
gig is happening. Which by sheer coincidence, I will also be there.
Yay!
Yeah, I know. It's a miracle.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be a good night. I'm excited.
I am. We've talked to Matt Roberts like twice on the show already, so I'm not going to...
He's an awesome guy.
Yes, he is. I won't beat anyone over the head with a stick about that anymore. Is there any other... Yeah, the discipline thing, it really still blows my mind. I know we've talked about it already, but I just can't imagine doing the same show every night. I think it's a real skill that you have to be able to do that.
I think at the beginning I was like, oh my gosh, how am I going to do this? Because I don't think I've ever played like a piece of music over and over that many times. And I think, one, I really like the music, so that helps. But also, it's kind of just like, I have a couple of dance moves that I do in the pit that every night I've got like a little routine of little things just to like make you, like, it's great fun. And also, the thing is, when you've got different depths in, you might have a different person sat next to you. That's really fun to have the different people in. And also then when it is the full section, you're excited because it's the full section. And you know, it is a discipline, and actually you can easily, I think it was like maybe like the third or fourth month in, I was like, I found myself going a little bit in autopilot, and I was like, no, I don't want this to happen, come on, let's think about something else in the music to like keep, okay, what's that articulation that you kind of have to like wake up a bit sometimes. Yeah. That's the thought. I would hate to like it just be like sound boring. And I think also there's an adrenaline when you've got the like the show, because we're on stage, like we're suspended at the top of the stage, so sometimes the audience can see us, sometimes they can't, so that's also a bit like that wakes you up a bit when you can see like 900 people in front of you.
How often can you be seen?
So there's probably like four scenes. Where now those four scenes, I know exactly what is going on stage. I can say every part, every song. I sing every part. So when that's going on, you kind of have to like, you kind of you have to be in the moment, because otherwise the audience can see you falling asleep and that's not great.
Yeah.
So it kind of keeps you awake. But no, it is a discipline, but I think you just get used to it. You kind of know the music. I've done it for a year now, so you kind of like know it off by heart now. And I don't get, every now and again, if you forget to turn the page, you know what you're playing, so it's okay. But no, there is a discipline. And also, I think every show is really different. Some other shows you just can't, like, especially like Wicked and Matilda, they're so intense. The music you're playing all the way through, where our show, the brass don't really play. It's a horn section, so it's trumpet, sax and trombone. We don't play in all the in between music. We're kind of just in each song.
Yeah.
So which is very different for some musicals. I went and saw Dreamgirls yesterday, matinee. Tom Dunnett on trombone, amazing. And they play all the way through. I mean, that is an intense show. If you've got a double show day, it must be apps. It's so tiring. Our show's tiring, but I mean, they play so much in that. And yeah, that's great. That's closes this week, I think. So as a musicals fan, I had to go and watch it. So
what happens to Tom Dunnett when the show closes? Does he just find a new job?
Yeah, well, he's a ridiculously amazing player, so I'm sure he's got loads of stuff lined up. But yeah, it's just freelancing. You just go back into your freelancing world. So when I'm on the show, I'm constantly, the reason I take shows off is to go and do my other freelance work. So yeah. I've taken off a week next week to go and do a week after to do Britten Sinfonia, doing some Brahms too. It's really important for me to take off time to go and do that, because you don't want everyone to think that you're not working anymore as a trombonist. You want to keep up all that work. So you take your time off, you choose your work that you want to take off to do other stuff. And I think it's also good to keep up your playing in different ways. Like, I'm really excited to do Matt Roberts thing, because like we've got a day of rehearsals, you've got a gig. Like, I think it makes you better for the show if you're doing other stuff. If you're just doing the show every night, you would go insane.
Yeah.
And just having other things to practice. Like, I love in the daytime. I've got an audition coming up at the end of January, so I'm like, each day I'm doing loads of practice. I'm not just doing the show stuff. You're constantly playing other stuff, and I think by doing all that stuff, it makes you better in the evenings for doing the show.
Yeah.
So it's it's fun. I do really enjoy it, and I mean, I don't think everyone that's in the West End loves musical theatre, but it helps that I like it. So it's fun.
So tell us about your driving lessons.
Oh my gosh. I've got a lesson today, 2-hour lesson, intense.
How long have you been learning for?
It only lasts about 2 or 3 months.
Okay.
So as a freelancer, it is ridiculous that I cannot drive. I'm that person that promises that they'll stay awake when they drive you home and bring snacks and pays and just be... is very nice to people to hopefully get a lift to gigs. So I'm just bored of trains and relying on people I had a gig in Nottingham just before Christmas, and it was just such a faff to try and get home. And I was just like, no, I'm bored of this.
Yeah.
To learn to drive. So
whereabouts do you live? Just for the,
so I'm in Southeast, I'm in Blackheath. So I've been, going around the Woolwich roundabout is scary. I totally did not stall the other day, and everyone was having a go at me. But it's
just what you want.
It's about time to. I think also just for my poor back, carrying all these instruments around.
Yeah.
I just need to. I think it's a life skill. I'm 27 and I can't drive. I don't think that's great. So
well, now's a great time to get it sorted, though.
Yeah,
you know, this is great. This is awesome.
Yeah. We'll see. Next month, I'll give you a text and tell you if I pass or not.
Oh, great. Yes. Oh, well, that's really exciting, though. So what will you do this morning? Do you know? Will you just drive around? Will you, like...
I think we're doing bay parking today.
Cool.
Oh, no. I like just having a nice little drive around.
I know what you mean.
Like,
have a chat.
But I don't like to have a chat. So my driving instructor, he's a violinist, he's a musician.
Oh wow.
So
how did you find this person?
just through some other musicians, actually, who just like, I was just chatting one day and I was talking to some friends on the gig and I was chatting, I said, I need a driving instructor. And someone said, oh, this guy. So instead of like teaching music, he enjoys driving, being a driving instructor and then doing his gigs at night instead of being a music teacher.
So
we have quite good chats. Every now and again, he's like, you need to actually stop talking and drive. it's nice to have someone that you can actually have a nice conversation with when you're, because especially like 2 hours, I'm doing 4 hours this week. I've done two-hour lessons.
Yeah.
So you've got to have a bit of chat with your teacher.
Oh, totally.
I think it's about time. I owe a lot of people lifts.
Yeah.
we'll hopefully pass next month, but I haven't done my theory yet. I need to do my theory.
Have you booked it?
No.
You know, there's an app. Have you used the app to
I do.
Yeah,
that's... And actually, in the show, that is my thing. When I'm not on, because we've got quite a bit of time off actually in our show.
Yeah.
I'm on my theory app.
That's ace. Okay. What a great multitasker you are.
I know. I probably shouldn't have said that, should I? It's better than playing on my phone.
Oh, yeah. So what are your other hobbies? What else are you into? If it's not the trombone. Ooh. Is there anything?
About 6 months ago, 8 months ago, I started the gym. I got really into it. I've got a personal trainer called Calvin. We love Calvin.
Wow, cool.
And yeah, I just got into that, which has been really fun. I mean, as anyone knows me, I hate exercise. So I'd never been to a gym before. And I thought, you know, because it's, I think, in especially in between the show, I used to get so, like on a Wednesday and Saturday, it stops me going out and spending loads of money on food and going like shopping and stuff. So I, on a Wednesday and Saturday in between shows, I go to the gym. There's quite a group of us from the show. We all go to the gym or go for a swim. It's just literally up the road in Soho.
That's
and awesome. I thought, oh, I'll sign up for that. And then they're like, oh, yeah, free personal trainer for a week. And I was like, okay. And then obviously it worked. And I like was like, yeah, I'll carry on. Like their business worked. And but yeah, so I've been doing that. So that's taken up like, that's a new thing that I've taken up this last year. But I love cooking. I do absolutely love going to theatre. Even though now I work in it, I just love it.
That's awesome. Like,
not just musicals though, like just any type of theatre. Like that was my hobby before, like as music. I know even though music's involved in it sometimes, like it, I just do love going to the theatre.
Yeah.
But it's just, living in London, there's just so much to do.
Yeah.
It's, also kind of there's too much to do because then you forget to do stuff because you're like there's just so much going on.
Yeah.
And obviously I just love going home to Cornwall. Cornwall's like amazing. So when I do get the chance, I'm straight on the train home.
Yeah. Soon you can drive home.
As soon I can drive. I mean, that's going to be a long journey.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd be doing that first of all. I think driving around London warm a bit up first. To that. Yeah.
I have a student who who's really into the show that you're on. Who texted me once to say someone had told her that I knew somebody. that I knew someone that was playing on that show and it's really cool. And I was like, I have no idea who it is. It could be hundreds of people that is. And then when we were talking about doing this show and you said that you played on it, I was like, oh my God, it's Emma. Mystery is solved. Yeah.
It's so good. Well, it's crazy, like the amount of it's kind of got like this cult following now, like it's loads of like, because of the whole RuPaul Drag Race thing, it's become, so we've got one of the judges from that is in our show at the moment. RuPaul came to watch the show the other day. People went crazy, and because of that they've just got such a following. So you've got like, you come out of stage door and you've just got like a sea of like teenagers going crazy for it, but then you've also got like loads of 50-year-old men with their mums who might have had a kind of similar experience that are there like absolutely loving it. And it's just all ages. I had like a student that came who's 13 who came with her mum and her gran and all absolutely loved it. So you get like, I think it's got quite a following, and what I find funny, I keep on getting added by like Jamie fan pages on Instagram.
That's awesome.
It's completely different. I mean, you don't really get that in orchestras. But I love it that so many people feel connected to it, and it's quite cool to be part of that. One day I would love to actually see the show.
Yeah, that'd be great.
It feels really weird being part of something and never actually seeing it.
That'd be so weird to dep it.
Yeah, that'd be a bit mean on my dep as well. I'm just going to go and sit in the audience and watch you. That'd be a bit mean.
That'd be brilliant.
But I won't be taking notes, I promise. But yeah, I think that would be quite cool one day to actually, before it shuts, maybe I'll go and have a watch.
Yeah.
It'd be cool.
Well, Emma, thank you so much for coming on the Jazz Podcast. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me.
Mm-hmm. We've had a great time. Enjoy your driving lesson.
Thank you.
And I'll see you on Thursday.
See you on Thursday.
Marvellous.
Well done.
Well, yep.
Next week, I think the next show is going to be possibly with Mary James. She specializes in funding applications for jazz musicians.
Oh.
She's got hundreds of Arts Council applications through for our idiot friends who otherwise would not have gotten funding.
Nice.
Yeah, so that should be next, but nobody knows. There's about 10 people who are, you know, floating on the periphery of either we ask them to do shows or they ask to come on. But then, like, quite often what happens is someone will ask if they can come on the show and I'll say yes. And then they'll go, oh, wait, I haven't got an album or anything to promote. Can I come on when I've got something?
Yeah.
Which I say yes to. And then the ebb and flow of actually finding a guest is getting really messy.
Mm.
Thing is, after 85 shows, we've probably talked to everybody we like.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, we're going to have to delve into the list of people that we don't really like.
Exactly. The list of people
really
we didn't
talk about.
The people we didn't want to talk to.
We haven't had you on, so I mean, maybe it's going to be you soon.
That's the dregs.
Doing a list
it?
Of people who haven't done anything.
Hey, I entered the film, the Richard Turner film.
I'm joking, Rob. You do no, way more than everyone.
You reminded me. I'm the center of the. I'm the Sagittarius A of the jazz scene. I entered the film for the British International Amateur Film Festival.
Nice.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Can I watch it? Or am I like in the inner circle to be able to watch it pre-release? Or
yeah,
I,
of course. I'll
am
send
I
it
to you on the periphery for that.
No, I'd love actually to screen test it on you
yeah.
and see what you make of it all. I'll send you a secret YouTube link.
Look forward to it.
Yep. So, yeah, on that note, have a wonderful birthday.
Thank you, Rob.
Make sure to get an early night because, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, one of the things that really gets me about aging, one of the most depressing things, is, you know, they say to work out your maximum heart rate, you minus your age from the number 220.
Right.
So when you're born, your heart's going to be able to beat at a maximum speed of 220 beats per minute.
Right.
But now we're down to 190.
I know.
Like, it's a mathematical fact that it won't go as fast anymore.
190 seems quite high still, though.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm not familiar with heart rates, but that seems like a lot higher than...
You won't need that, I guess.
I'd probably feel on the verge of death if I was at 190.
Yeah, but then in another 40 years, we'll be down to 150.
Ooh.
You know, that's slower than when I run at the moment.
You run?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you said you went for a run.
Yeah.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah. So, you're right. Let's cherish these 190 BPM days.
Yes.
Make the most of it.
Up tempo.
Yeah. Double time swing for me, please.
Yeah. I'm going to be on a medium soon.
That's great. From now on, we must redo ages as styles of jazz.
Yeah. I think I'm going to be hitting ballads soon, though.
Yeah.
I feel like it.
You're going to go straight through bossa nova and...
Oh, no. Don't ever give me a bossa nova heartbeat.
Okay. Okay.
Although that is... Anyway, we're talking about totally rubbish now, aren't we?
It's time
to finish.
I think it's either time to finish or I'll have faded us out. Either way, it's been a pleasure.
Always.
Good work, lads.